is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to listen. Oh, thank you for listening. I was going to say thank you to listening to the show, but that's terrible English. I can do better. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Down in Sunrise, Florida, we're minutes away from the puck dropping in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. And we got the Florida Panthers trying to take a 3-1 series lead against Edmonton. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Yeah, we just talked about the Stanley Cup Finals. Man, we've talked about the NBA Finals, where the Pacers have a surprising 2-1 series lead. Thank you so much to our guest last hour, Dustin Dopierak, for joining us from the Indy Star. And how about this? In another 20 minutes, we will have another guest. We'll be joined by Wes Reynolds, who covers all things golf for VSiN. Oh, yeah, the U.S. Open is underway right outside of Pittsburgh. I'm going to try to help you out. Maybe you gamble responsibly. Maybe I try to help you out. Let's see what Wes has to say. And the next break, NFL camps are closing up. Shamar Stewart of the Cincinnati Bengals, he decided not to show up at all without a contract. Hey, how about this? All my soccer fans, we had Weston McKennie on this week. Christian Pulisic. No, we didn't talk to him. We didn't interview him. He's not happy for another reason involving the U.S. men's national team. We'll get into that. Next hour, of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. And so we have a lot to do. We've already discussed a lot. Halliburton and the Sixers are trying to do better and trade up in the draft. There's a lot that we've done. If you've missed a minute of the show, go ahead and get the Odyssey app. All you have to do is go ahead and hit rewind. Thank you for listening on your local affiliates. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. If you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. And if you want to be a part of the show, you can do that too. Here's the number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, when this puck drops down in Sunrise, we'll keep you up to date on how this game is going to go. I mean, there's been a lot of goals. There's been a lot of scoring. There's been a lot of action in the Stanley Cup Finals. I feel like every game, every matchup, you ended up with 7 goals. So we'll see if tonight is also a high-scoring affair. I think Edmonton, with their backs up against the wall, I get it. They can go down a 3-1. I think that they're going to pick up the victory tonight. Let's see what happens. There's been a whole lot said about them getting revenge. I think they'll have a little bit more of an edge. They already displayed one at the end of the last game where they got blown out 6-1, and all of a sudden all the Oilers wanted to do was fight, and not for goals, and fight with their fists, okay? Anyway, speaking of fighting, I don't know what this team is doing. There's yet another update. They must be fighting for last place, fighting for the dumbest space, the dumbest spot. The New York Knicks is just like a poor story that doesn't end. They fire Tom Thibodeau, who took them to their first Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since the year 2000. This guy goes to the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years, something that the Knicks haven't even done. They didn't even see the playoffs since 2014. And to the shock of nobody, well, not to me, they fire Tom Thibodeau. Why is it a surprise? Why? Because they're good? Yeah, that doesn't make sense. And we've seen some good teams fire some coaches. Mike Malone, championship coach, got fired. I can go down the list, Frank Vogel, on and on and on. But who cares about the coaches? And the New York Knicks, they didn't even need to win a championship to go, hey, let's just fire our coach despite the fact that he's helped us get closer. Think about the coaches before him. Sounds crazy. Derek Fisher, Jeff Hornacek, Fizdale, Kurt Rambis. I'm like, how the hell did all these guys end up coaching the Knicks? Some of them replacements. It's sad. And so what do the Knicks do? Looking for a coach. And they've started asking around. And they have been rejected left right, and center. They wanted Jason Kidd. Dallas Mavericks said no. They wanted to talk to Chris Finch of the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Knicks lost. Minnesota said no. They wanted Ime Udoka from the Houston Rockets. The Rockets said, nah, Quinn Snyder here in Atlanta. The Hawks said, no, you can't. Billy Donovan from the Chicago Bulls. And come on, man, the Chicago Bulls suck. They might as well let the fans rotate as a head coach in every single game. Billy Donovan, Bulls aren't letting him leave. Bulls said, no. And so here we stand. The New York Knicks might have to pick up Mike Brown, who was fired from the Sacramento Kings last year, or Taylor Jenkins, who was canned with the Memphis Grizzlies because Ja Morant wasn't a fan of the offense. Two good coaches, two successful coaches, coaches who have an understanding of what it means to be a coach of the year. Mike Brown. Mike Brown knows what it means to be a winner. At the same time, the New York Knicks are really showing how dumb they are. How are you going to fire Tom Thibodeau and not have a plan? Not have a coach that you think is better? And what world is going from Mike Brown, or excuse me, Tom Thibodeau to Mike Brown or Taylor Jenkins a positive move? Okay, maybe Taylor Jenkins is younger than both of these guys. But ultimately, the Knicks need talent. And I don't think there's a big enough jump to go, oh my God, oh, we went from Tom Thibodeau. Now Taylor Jenkins is what, going to take us to the finals? Taylor Jenkins would get fired just like Tom Thibodeau did, and probably for less success. Someone who cannot also, for the life of himself, understand what the New York Knicks are doing is Charles Barkley. Last night, Charles Barkley was on NBA television following the Indiana Pacers' victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Charles Barkley said what everybody knows and what's on everybody's mind, that's the Knicks are stupid.
The Knicks got to be the stupidest damn people in the world. Like, you don't fire no good coach like that and don't have a plan. I mean, Tibbs did a hell of a job. Obviously, something's going on there, but you don't have a plan. And now the three coaches turn you down. You got to have a plan, man. And they don't have a plan now. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Yeah, it's like a comedy. The New York Knicks are just committing error after error after error. It's like I'm going to sell my house and not have an idea where I'm going to live. I'm going to get rid of my car and not know how I'm going to go to work tomorrow morning. I'm just going to wing it. I'm going to figure it out. I may have to walk. I don't know. My phone is broke. I might have to Uber. I don't. You got to have an idea. And I'm sure James Dolan didn't like the idea of being called an idiot and stupid last night during the broadcast. But hey, welcome to the world. You deserve it. The New York Knicks are stupid. Let me know when they can actually get some more players that can help them get closer to a championship. And one of those guys, his name being bandied about, I don't know if it's going to help the Knicks to bring on a Kevin Durant who's getting older, can't stay healthy. When he is healthy, he can still score. But how's he going to get better as he's getting older? Shams was actually talking about Kevin Durant earlier today on ESPN, and he gave an update as to where Durant might end up.
Shay, I'm told there is traction around trade scenarios for Kevin Durant, and there are some teams that are motivated to get this deal done sooner rather than later. And now this could be something that lingers closer to the NBA draft. Could you get it done a day or two before that June 25th draft? Potentially, but there is motivation on some sides. And the focus of the Suns' conversations as of the last 24 hours has been around the Houston Rockets, San Antonio Spurs, Minnesota Timberwolves, Miami Heat, and the New York Knicks. And Durant is on an expiring contract for upwards of $50 million. So it's going to be the risk-reward of needing him and seeing his buy-in to whatever team you are and you hope that he wants to be long-term versus potentially just taking a swing and seeing can you keep him and then compete for a championship.
Man, I don't know. Does somebody want to – maybe if it really comes down to the wire, somebody will bring him on a rental. But if I'm Kevin Durant, if I'm happy with where I'm going or the situation that's being set up, you know what I want? I'm going to want a contract extension. I'm going to look at how old I am, and I'm going to decide that if I can get myself a new contract and a new deal, I'm going to go out there and do so. By the time we pull up to the start of next NBA season, Kevin Durant will be 37 years old. The man dropped 26 points when he was healthy last year. The man is still 7 feet tall. He's still one of the best shooters and best offensive players in the game. He's not necessarily flying to the hoop all the damn time the way that he used to as a kid, but he's still one of the best scorers. He's one of the best scorers ever. The problem is he's turning 37. He played 62 games last year before he got hurt at the end of the season. God bless him there. Year before that, he played 75 games. And that might be his max as we continue on. I'm supposed to think that he's going to play more games as he get older. I highly, highly doubt it. And so whoever brings him on, I would really consider him to be a rental. I would wait. I'd make Kevin Durant wait. Forget the NBA draft. If I'm the Phoenix Suns, I want to see what I could get. Of course, they want somebody to take him in on a long term because they get more value back. I just find it hard to believe a team is going to trade for a 37-year-old and say, yeah, let's just go out there and give him a contract extension. I mean, the Suns, they're in a place where they're rebuilding. You might as well take whatever picks you can get. I don't think there's a talent that's coming back that's even going to have an upside of what you had short-term with Kevin Durant. The Phoenix Suns, they swung and they missed. Now they got a new head coach, got rid of Vogel, got Jordan Ott, who's now in the building. People didn't know who the hell Jordan Ott was until last week. And I want you to listen to this man speak. You are going to remember this man because you're going to remember his voice. He sounds like he will punch you in the mouth. This is my type of coach. He's the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns. Nobody knows who he is, but he sounds like a violent man. Listen to him tell you why he earned this job.
So I'll say it like this, like I've earned the right to be here. I've spent 20 years of working as hard as I possibly can to be here in this spot. I've been around great people, great coaches, great players to allow me to grow, put me in tough spots to see if I can get better. So I know I've earned this opportunity. I'm going to work as hard as I can from here on out to prove that I am here for the right reasons and I've earned this opportunity. So that excites me.
Man, you say the wrong thing to that man, he sounds like he will cut you. He was asked about probably the only guy who'll be sticking around with the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker, because we know Durant is going to be out the door. Bradley Beal, he'll be gone as soon as he can get moved or his contract expires, one or the other. But Devin Booker, he's going to stick around on this losing-ass team. This is what he had to say about him.
He's in his prime, ready to rock. And, again, we need to help him. And that's my job as the coach, to help him in multiple areas, help him find solutions so he knows that he has us behind him. Make or miss, end the game, game on the line, make or miss, we're behind him.
Man, there's nothing worse than being on a team with a star player that's going absolutely nowhere. And I mean, if I'm Devin Booker, I'm like, man, I've been to the NBA Finals. Yeah, I lost. And perennial all-star just about every year. I'm on a maximum contract. I'm cool with the owner. I'm living in Arizona. I don't got to go far to go to L.A. Like, I'm like, man, what's the problem? I bet he goes back to Michigan, maybe not even once a year, where he's from. I think he's worried about nothing but just collecting checks. Good for Devin Booker. He'll wait. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Down in Sunrise, Florida, they got a whole damn light show on the ice right now as the Edmonton Oilers are trying to avoid a 3-1 hole against the Florida Panthers. Last year, the Oilers bounced back to 4-7 games after basically almost getting swept. Let's see if they're going to avoid having to work as hard this go round, and we'll keep you updated updated once they go ahead and drop the puck on what this one looks like. Hopefully it's a good one. Meanwhile, on the other side of this break, we're going to come back and talk some golf. Yeah, the U.S. Open. Yeah, Jordan Knott is from the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. Well, that's exactly where the U.S. Open is taking place. We're going to have a chat with Wes Reynolds about who could potentially walk away here with the trophy on a Sunday. Time to talk some golf on the other side with Wes Reynolds from VSiN. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show, here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, there's so much going on. The NBA Finals, we're minutes away from the puck dropping for the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. And today, right outside of Pittsburgh, we got a start of something else. It's the U.S. Open at Oakmont Country Club. To talk about what we might see the rest of the week going into the weekend, what we have already seen, what has been a little surprising, is someone who covers and talks all things golf for VSiN. It's Wes Reynolds, who you can catch as a host, and also he's the host of the golf podcast, VSiN's Long Shots. Wes, how are you, man?
I'm well, JR. How are you, sir?
Hey, always good to have you on. I'm great. I'm chilling, man. So looking forward to getting into this. Look, they started off today. JJ Spahn here at the top of the leaderboard? Like, how much longer can we expect this?
Yeah, you know, look, he's a solid player. I mean, a lot of people probably that are casual fans or even casual bettors don't know who he is. He was in the playoff earlier this year against Rory McIlroy, and the Players couldn't get it done in that Monday finish. But he's a solid player. He hasn't won a ton on the PGA Tour, but when you look at just, he putted the lights out today. He was, I think, second in the field for strokes gained putting over four strokes gained, and that's what he shot, four under par, and got up and down. Just had a clean round from a putting standpoint and around the green, but I don't know how much longer he can hang in there. He might be able to hang in. I don't expect him to win when you look at this leaderboard, but just four under, very solid round at Oakmont. You shoot 66 on that golf course, you're doing something right, but only 10 of the players in the entire field of 156 shot under par today, and I expect that carnage is going to continue throughout the weekend.
Well, Russ, you mentioned Rory McIlroy. I mean, since winning the Masters and finally getting over that hump, he seems pretty grumpy. He's answering questions about why he's not answering questions, and what's his issue? You would think after winning, he'd be kind of chilled out by now.
Yeah, it was going to go one of two ways, I think, after he finally got that career grand slam and that albatross off his back that's been with him for over a decade. He was either going to not feel the pressure anymore and was going to win a bunch right in a row, or he was going to do what he's doing now, which is kind of struggling. And I think just getting that career accomplishment, it is a little bit hard to kind of continue that. And then what happened at the PGA because the USGA randomly tests golf clubs and something, it wasn't anything nefarious. I don't think he was cheating or doing anything wrong, but there was something that did not pass their test with the driver. So he didn't want to answer those questions. And I think, you know, just the pressure that got to him, now he's finally like, you know what? I don't care anymore, and he doesn't feel obligated to answer those questions. And he's not the same affable Rory that we've known over the years.
Right. So what does this mean? He's going to win another green jacket in another 10 years? He's just going to be miserable?
I for his sake, I hope not. But I just think he's in one of those ruts right now. He's still great off the tee. He's still one of the best drivers of the golf ball in the world, not only length but accuracy. But the irons weren't very sharp today. You look at his scrambling numbers, he only was one of five up and down 20%. So that's not going to get it done, and that's why he shoots four over par for the opening round.
Wes Reynolds is here with us, covers all things golf for VSiN. The last time I looked at the leaderboard, we had some notable names like DeChambeau, who won last year, and then also Scheffler. These guys were like three shots over. It's still early. It's just a day. It's a round. What are your thoughts on what they'll be able to do the rest of this weekend?
Yeah, for Scotty, look, you can never rule him out because he's number one player in the world for a reason. So I certainly wouldn't say, okay, he's done here. But He didn't hit enough fairways today. And if you don't hit fairways at Oakmont with the rough as thick as it is, 5 inches thick, and then the fact that we might get some weather over the weekend, that rain just makes it even thicker and tougher to get out of. So if you're not hitting fairways, and really that's any U.S. Open, you're not going to win and you're not going to play very well. And that's, I think, was the cause of it really for Scotty today. The putting was just kind of like a net zero. And that was what I was worried about with him coming into this event, because these greens are super fast. They're 15 on the stint meter. It's like putting on glass. And that's where I thought it might trip Scotty up, but he did okay on the greens. But he and Bryson, I still think, are in it. Bryson, it was a putting issue for him today. He lost 1.5 strokes putting, and that's why he shoots 3 over par, but drove the ball great, drove it long, drove it relatively accurate, did not miss a ton of fairways, but he's still got to, I think, tighten that up. But I think Bryson and Scotty, even though they're 7 back, they're not out of it by a long shot.
Well, Wes, you mentioned, like, just the conditions at Oakmont. Are those the only two things that stand out making it difficult? The rough and how fast it plays on the greens. Are there any other issues that the players need to worry about over the weekend?
Well, and the fairways are pretty narrow too. They're only about 28 yards wide on average. So these are not the, you know, cavernous wide fairways that they're going to get most weeks on the PGA Tour, whether it's LIV or whatever tour these guys play on respectively. It's the narrow fairways, and it's the pressure of the U.S. Open. It's the rough. It's the greens being quick. It's the fact that these greens, even though they're really, really big, they have a lot of slope to them. So you'll hit a lot of these greens, and then the balls will roll off. So you'll have to get up and down in your chipping game, and those short pitches around the greens are going to have to be on point. It's an all-around game, because that's what the U.S. Open is. That's what it's always been about. They want to reward good shots, and they want to punish bad shots, and they certainly did that in round one.
Oh, Wes, you mentioned LIV or the PGA. I'm going to get to that in a second. Outside of the big names that we mentioned, are there any other players that we need to pay attention to that aren't getting so much attention? Obviously, Spahn is sitting at the top of the leaderboard having one of the best opening rounds ever. Is anybody else that we should pay attention to?
Well, looking kind of near the top, at least on the first page, John Rahm, who I like going before the tournament, and you know he's certainly a big name in his own right, even though he hasn't won in a minute. He played very well today. I thought a 1-under round of 69. If he shoots 69 all 4 days, I think he's going to win the championship. But I thought played very solid, was terrific off the tee, was number one, actually, in strokes gained off the tee of any player in this field. Hit greens, did not make a lot of bogeys. And, you're going to make bogeys in the U.S. Open. You just can't make a bunch of them. You can make one or two or three in a round, but if you're making 5, 6 bogeys, I don't care how many birdies or eagles you have, you're not going to shoot a good round. And then surprisingly enough, when everybody doesn't back him and nobody really talks about him, there's Brooks Koepka again at 2 under par, 2 strokes back. Nobody I know or saw was picking him this week, because when everybody has been picking him, it's like, oh man, look at this price on Brooks Koepka. He's 50-1 or he's 60-1 going into this major, and then has not really shown a lot of late. Here he is tied up for a third at 2 under par. But, you know, Cameron Young is another guy that I think is starting to find something. He was in the mix at the RBC Canadian Open, then just had a bad 17th hole, and that's what found himself out of the playoff last week between Sam Burns and Ryan Fox. But Cam Young was kind of a like trendy, I don't want to say trendy, but a trendier long shot that a lot of people liked. And even par, very good start for Cameron Young.
Well, Wes, I got to go back to you triggered something in my brain. You mentioned LIV, and I feel like every month, once a month, there's a new story that comes out. And it's nothing new. It's about how they have yet to come to an agreement with the PGA. I mean, ultimately, I think LIV was their plan was to bleed them out with lawyers and then ultimately purchase them. And then they said, let's just try to be friends and work something out. I feel like this is 2 years old at this point, going on 3 or 4, and that has proven to be impossible. Are they ever going to have a resolution, or will they exist this way, kind of the way it is now?
Yeah, it's like, wake me up when September ends. Wake me up when this happens, when they finally get together, because we've been hearing a bunch of talk, but I think you have two sides that are pretty well dug in. Clearly, LIV has pretty unending funding, I would say.
So
they can be in it for the long haul here with this public investment fund. And I think the PGA is kind of doing their thing. The PGA Tour, I believe, just appointed an executive from the NFL today. So, you know, they're doing their thing. They're doing okay. Liv is doing what they do. The ratings aren't very big right now because the TV deal is not that great. And just people don't know what to make of it. People don't follow it. They know who the big names are on that tour, the Brysons and the Rahms and the Brooks Koepkas and the like. And they focus on them when they get to the majors. But other than that, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, I think, for mainstream audiences.
Well, Wes, how about me and you cobble some money together from somewhere else and we start our own league?
I wouldn't mind that. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to rule over something with you, JR.
Yeah,
and now see what we can do.
Yeah, now we just have to find some place that has more money than the Saudis. I'll start looking, okay?
Yeah, you let me know when we find that. We're going to be probably searching for a long time.
I think if we cobble together all the grandmas in America and we look in their couches, I think we got a good shot.
We can put something together. We can at least have a little fun doing that.
I think we certainly can. Hey, Wes, always a pleasure chatting with you, man. Tell everybody where they can keep up, listen, follow, and all that good stuff, man.
Yeah, at vsin.com is where you get the columns and then the live audio streams, live video streams, and I'm also on the Twitter or the X, whatever they call it now, at Wes Reynolds, and then the number one on the end.
Hey, Wes, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, the start of the weekend, and I'll let you know when I find me a couple quarters in the cushion, okay?
Please let me know, JR. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All the time. That Wes Reynolds, host on VSiN, host of VSiN's Long Shots, covering all things golf. Yeah, I'm still trying to understand. Rory McIlroy is just, he's just miserable. I mean, after winning the green jacket and his family is there, his wife is there, his daughter is there, he's getting all the hugs, he's getting all the love, and he's all tears afterwards, and it's all a love fest. And then afterwards, it's like, oh my God, back to reality. You're just going to be miserable the rest of the way. That's not tolerable. Nobody wants to deal with that. It's like he was easy to root for to finally get the job done, and now he's just being such a jerk and publicly communicating with the media. It's just like, well, if you're going to act like a jerk, I'm going to root for you to lose. I don't care either way, but I mean, sheesh, man, lighten up just a little bit. Making enough money swinging a club at a ball. A lot of pressure, a lot of attention, but chill out just a little bit. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We got these mini camps, these voluntary camps at the NFL. They're closing down until we get to next month with official training camp. We got a bunch of players in the NFL that are getting ready to chill out. At least the ones who, I guess, showed up to work. We're going to talk about some of these players and some of the camp news that we've received on the other side of the break. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals Game 4 is underway down in Sunrise, Florida. There's a lot of other things going on. There's baseball being played. To get an update on everything in the world of sports, right now on the Infinity Sports Network, it's time for a newsflash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Wes Reynolds from VSiN. And he came through and joined us to talk about the U.S. Open taking place at Oakmont Country Club, right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Terrific. Hey, but you know, that's not the only thing taking place in Pittsburgh. Kind of crazy now that you think about it. You got golf, you got the Steelers at Pitt practicing, but now their practicing is over. Busy week in Pittsburgh, huh? Aaron Rodgers showed up. TJ Watt did not show up for work. You know, matter of fact, let's stick to Pittsburgh. I did tell you that we got a lot of camps that are closing down. And Pittsburgh, they had a successful one without TJ Watt. And Mike Tomlin, he decided to put in his 2 cents and give his thoughts on the negotiations with T.J. Watt, who I assume he wants to be paid just as much as Myles Garrett, is getting $40 million. This is what Tomlin had to say about the negotiations between the Steelers and Watt.
You know, I'm not going to get into speculation there. You guys know what negotiations is about. I'm optimistic we're going to get things done because we got two sides that want to get things done. When that's going to occur, I do not know.
Oh, man. When Mike Tomlin talks to the media, he is making his point known. Like, he is not, he's shouting at you. And then when he talks normally, I've seen him, he just talks regular. He's a football coach. Shout outs to Mike Tomlin. Anyway, for the guys that are there, thinking about the offense, you got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, you got DK Metcalf at wide receiver, and nobody wants to think about anybody else at wide receiver because they don't have anybody worth a damn. I mean, is Robert Woods actually going to be out there starting on the football field later this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think not. Are they going to pick up Jonnu Smith from Miami? Are they ending up with somebody else? They have to do something before we get to September. And so in a hilarious fashion, Arthur Smith was asked about how he plans to balance the offense. We know the Steelers play a brand of football that is smash mouth. They want to run the rock. But now you have Aaron Rodgers. You actually also want to throw the ball. You want to make sure that DK Metcalf is feeling happy. I mean, back in Seattle, but Jackson Smith and Jigba was the man who was getting more of the receptions last year. Now you got a rookie, Caleb Johnson. You got Jalen Warren, who's going to carry more of the workload. Arthur Smith was asked how he plans on balancing this offense, and it was pretty hilarious.
You'd love to be more balanced. You know, obvious, depending on how you want to attack this defense, where you think their strengths, weaknesses are. I mean, that's the game. It's played every Sunday. You know, and obviously, as your roster evolves, I mean, obviously, we didn't bring Aaron in here and sign DK for all that money to go run the wishbone. So, you know, you try to play to the strengths of your team.
Yeah. Arthur Smith, a former failed head coach here in Atlanta, Georgia, now the offensive coordinator moving into his second year here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It should be rather easy. I think his job is just to do whatever the hell Aaron Rodgers tells him to do on offense, and Mike Tomlin will just say, yep, whatever he says. And shout-outs to the Panthers, off to a hot start here. About 8 minutes to go here in the first period. Matthew Tkachuk finally scores a goal here in the Stanley Cup Finals. Puts the Panthers up 1-0. About 7.5 minutes to go here in the first period. We'll keep you up to date. The Edmonton Oilers are trying to avoid a 3-1 hole. Let's see what the Steelers do. Speaking of the AFC, there's another team in the AFC. I get asked about them. I was asked about, hey, Botcher, didn't somebody call last night and ask about the Buffalo Bills?
Yep, and he was in Sherbert?
Yeah, he was. He was
Sorbet, something like that.
Is something that was colorful and sugary.
He doesn't check the wrapper, though.
Yeah, he doesn't want to look at the nutrition facts. He doesn't. Well, he did call and ask about the Bills in the middle of June. And I told this man, I said, bro, just can we have this conversation in January? At that point in time, I will assume the Buffalo Bills have made it to the postseason. That Josh Allen will once again be an MVP conversation. That they will have picked up, 10-plus victories. Like, let me know what happens then. And one thing a lot of people are looking forward to, and I want to as well, what the heck is Keon Coleman going to look like in his second season? Like, there was a lot of interest in him after he got drafted, and he's the toast of the town. He's telling all the jokes. Last year, and he's only 22 years old, by the way, 556 yards receiving to go along with 4 touchdowns. You would expect that he might have just a real big year. And so Keon Coleman with Buffalo Bills minicamp basically closing up, and he gave another honest, but I'd say also funny response. He was asked about his performance last year, what he's going to learn going into this year. This is what he had to say about 2024.
You want to know exactly what I see? And that's trash. You got to be better. Simple as that. Like, you got to be more efficient here. You got to get out of this break. You got to stack your DB. You got to give Josh more room to throw the ball. You got to catch that. You got to make that block. You got to get that extra effort on the touchdown block. So if Jimbo break it, he up the sideline, just different things like that. Calling out everything that you're doing wrong to make it right.
I can appreciate a player saying that he's trash. You know, not every player is going to say that. So if a guy gives, if he says he's trash, then I can say he's trash with no problem. And there's just a lot of sensitive players out here nowadays. You can't say nothing. I mean, we had a conversation about Tyrese Halliburton. This man is sitting around at the NBA Finals after a victory. He's being asked questions about how he's perceived, and he's getting into talking heads. Just, bro, just say nothing. Don't even say, man, I'm just focusing on playing the finals. Just go ahead and shut it down right then and right there. Bunch of complainers. Yeah, you appreciate the honesty of Keon Coleman. And with camp closing, how about this? I don't know if I should appreciate the honesty. I don't know if this man is lying. I don't know if he is telling us the truth. I'm not so sure. This is J.K. Dobbins. This man just signed a one-year contract with the Denver Broncos. 1 year, $5.25 million. Last year, he played for Los Angeles. He had a solid season, 905 yards, 9 touchdowns for the Chargers, and he has moved on to Denver. He says he wants to be in Denver for a chance to go out there and win. You got old cranky Sean Payton. You think about what Sean Payton's been able to do. He's no longer throwing people under the bus. He's no longer yelling at old head coaches. I think he is done being ticked off at Nathaniel Hackett and then also Russell Wilson. I think that Sean Payton is he's in a good place. I mean, I was shocked last year. I give him credit. You think about the success they had with Bo Nix in his first year. The Denver Broncos finally have a quarterback here. They went to the postseason, even though they got smoked by the Buffalo Bills. They look like they're on the up and up. And you be the judge of what J.K. Dobbins said. He says he wants to win a championship with this Denver team. Okay.
I always have a chip on my shoulder. But, yeah, that was a little weird. But it's business, you know. It's for my agent to handle. You know, good luck to them. I'm a Bronco now. You got to see me twice a year. So that's my thoughts on it. I'm going to have the chip on my shoulder, of course, but I'm here. I'm worried about winning more than just beating. I don't want to just beat the Chargers. I want to go on and I want to get a ring because I've been in the playoffs every year I've played. So I'm tired of losing in them. So that's my goal, is to bring a Super Bowl to the city and just be a blessing to the community as well.
Look, I expect the Broncos to be good. I mean, they were surprising 10-7 last year. They had one of the best defenses in the NFL. Now, who would have thought that Bo Nix would be where he is? You would think that there might be some regression, or maybe he's just going to continue moving forward. I think there'll be a wild card team likely again. You got to think about the division that they play. And he mentioned his old team, the Los Angeles Chargers. You think about the Kansas City Chiefs, who aren't going anywhere. I can't imagine the Raiders are going to be all that bad with Geno Smith and at the helm now. I don't know if I wholly believe him there. Broncos would be good. Super Bowl good? I don't know if they're going to go ahead and turn that corner. And meanwhile, the team that he left, we got news out of camp there as well. We heard from Khalil Mack, who decided to return to the Los Angeles Chargers. At this point in time, Khalil Mack is also like furniture. Dude has been around so long. He's 34 years old. Will still go out there and get some sacks. Last year, only 6. The year before that, 17. But has decided to stay with the Chargers, who now with Harbaugh at the helm, they're expected to keep turning things around. They went to the playoffs and lost to the Texans. J.K. Dobbins, he said he wants a ring in Denver. Khalil Mack, this is what he had to say about returning to the Chargers.
It's just that feeling. You know, you're chasing that feeling of wanting to win important games deep in the season. And so, yeah, being that I haven't reached that point yet, I couldn't give up on that dream and that goal for myself and for this franchise.
Oh yeah, they're gonna ask him to carry more slack now that Bosa's, I guess, trying to be healthy out in Buffalo. And good luck to him on that one. Yeah, I love it. This is the time of year over the next month. And things, people are going on a break. Camp is now closing. We don't have to hear about Kirk Cousins and what happens with him and Trey Hendrickson. These deals will just happen and pop back up by the time we get to July. But these dudes are going on vacation. Everybody's optimistic. My team is going to win the Super Bowl. And my team is going to win the Super Bowl. I want a chance to win. By the time we get to October, are people legitimately going to go, hey, look at those Chargers, man. They're just winning big. They're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think so. And then beat Patrick Mahomes. Do that first. I think the Kansas City Chiefs might be coming back to reality just a little bit, but that gets said every single year. I do feel, though, the way the Chiefs have been trending, I know it's early, it's June. I think things are a little bit more on equal footing in the AFC. I think there's no guarantee the Chiefs are just going to run roughshod over everybody. And that might be good for everybody else in the AFC West. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Florida leading Edmonton 1-0 in the first. We'll come back, give you an update on everything going on in the world of sports, and do more. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.